Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it's good to be with you on this Friday morning as we're looking at Psalm 87 this morning. Psalm 87 is a very short psalm, just seven verses long, and it is focused on celebrating Zion, the city of God. And so we're going to focus on that this morning. Hope you're doing well. Looking forward to gathering together for worship on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day morning. This psalm, I think, is a great preparation for that, as it warms our hearts to think about the church and about the gathering of the church as the holy city of God. Let's pray and then ask God to help us understand and receive His word this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for such glorious truth as we find in Your word. We thank You for Psalm 87. We pray that You would write its truth, its goodness, its beautiful, wonderful revelation of You about Your people. Would You write it on our hearts, Father? And would You teach it to our minds, that we might know You and that we might love You as Your dearly loved, redeemed, and gathered together people. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 87 is a psalm of the sons of Korah. It's a song. On the holy mount stands the city He founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of You are spoken, O city of God, Selah. Among those who know Me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord records, as He registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. Singers and dancers alike say, all My springs are in You. Amen. That is a short psalm, and part of it's wonderful, and part of it's probably, frankly, confusing, because that middle section has these references to all these places and people that we might not be really familiar with. It is part of a group of psalms that you could find throughout the Psalter that focus on Zion, on the city of God. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to Jerusalem. Our feet are standing within Your gates, O Zion. Psalm 137 is another one. But these celebrate Zion as the city of God. Oh, excuse me. That was me banging my coffee cup and almost spilling my hot coffee all over myself. Thankful that didn't happen. All right. So, Zion is a mountain near Jerusalem. It's part of Jerusalem today. But Zion is a mountain, one of the seven mountains that really surround Jerusalem. And it is a place that basically has become associated in the Bible with the city of Jerusalem. And so when it says the gates of Zion, that's a way of talking about Jerusalem. Sorry, I need more coffee. Something's in my throat this morning. I don't just drink coffee because I like coffee and I can't stand to go 20 minutes without drinking coffee. It helps me get the stuff out of my throat that is there in the mornings. Mornings are not happy time for me all the time. I'm a little sleepy in the mornings. Anyway, back to Zion. And so here is a celebration of this holy city on this holy mountain. And He says, glorious things of You are spoken, O city of God. If you got here early enough to be able to listen to the guitar music, I mixed it up this morning. And I put in Christopher Parkening's recording of Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, which is a beautiful, if you like classical guitar, Christopher Parkening's album Simple Gifts is a great classical guitar album of hymns and songs to glorify God. Anyway, so Zion is this great city that glorious things are spoken of. God chose Zion to be his dwelling place, where the temple would sit, where he would meet with his people. But he said, when he says glorious things, when the sons of Korah say glorious things of you are spoken, we then have this kind of confusing middle section. But it's wonderful when we understand what's being said here. Because what's being said here, and you see it twice, this one was born there. This one was born there. This one and that one were born in her in between. So you clearly the focus with all these place names is on the glorious truth of being born in Zion, right? Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon, Philistia and Tyre and Cush. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about all the surrounding nations. So basically, it's a way of talking about the nations of the earth, many of whom have been enemies of God's people. Babylon took God's people into captivity, right? But now, this is a prophecy. The Most High himself will establish her, okay? And of Zion it shall be said. So this is a prophecy that in the future God will so establish Zion, the city of God, that all the nations of the earth will be in awe and wonder of those who were born in Zion. And this is where we are lifted up from the physical city of Jerusalem on the physical mountain of Zion, which is a great place to visit. I've been there. It's a wonderful, encouraging place to go and stand where Jesus stood and be in the place where all the events of the Bible transpired. But Psalm 87 is really lifting us up from that physical geographical location and up to a higher vision of what Zion is. Zion is the city of God. It is the church. That's why the hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, John Newton wrote about the church and about the way the Lord supplies the needs of his church. And so to be born there, to be born in her, is, I believe, a reference to being born again and being part of the people of God, the true church, the spiritual church, the kingdom of God, which is universal in nature and is not the same thing exactly as the human institution of the church, churches, but is found throughout those churches as one body of Christ throughout the world, those who are truly born again, those who are born in the heavenly Zion. Right? Now, some of you might think, okay, I don't really see that in this text. I don't know about all this spiritualizing and allegorizing of these passages. Well, hold on a minute, because we're going to go to the New Testament and see how the New Testament refers to Zion and see that what I'm saying is just exactly the way the New Testament talks about Zion. But I believe that this is what the heart of this psalm is about, is a celebration that the glorious things that are spoken of Zion is the prophecy that Zion, Jerusalem, is going to become this universal, worldwide, global kingdom, church, that people are born into spiritually. You must be born again. And that the world will notice, all over the world, people will notice, there's something different about that one. That one doesn't belong to this kingdom here. That one belongs to another kingdom. So all over the world, people notice Christians are different. One of the things I love about going on mission trips, I can go to northern Uganda and be with guys from Uganda, from Sudan, from South Sudan, and we can be in fellowship with one another, and we are brothers in the Lord, and we have Christ in common, and we worship together, and we dig into the Word together, and we rejoice in the Lord together. And in a sense, I have much more in common with these men of God whose lives are very, very different from mine in an external physical way than I have with some of my neighbors here who are not believers. Like, they might be Americans and they might live on my street and they might have an externally similar lifestyle, but their heartbeat is not the same as my heartbeat. Their life is not the same as my life. But all over the world, all of those who are born of God, are born of Zion, are born in Zion, are part of this city of God. And the final verse is just about the joy that being born of God and being a part of His people brings. Singers and dancers alike say, "All my springs are in you." Where do we get our joy for singing? You know, people at bars can drink alcohol and then sing songs, maybe, or do karaoke. And maybe their source of their song is coming from the alcohol or maybe from the woman they're trying to pick up. I don't know. But for us, where does the joy of our singing come from? Where does the joy of our just celebration come from? It comes from the fact that God has caused us to be born again by His Spirit and has made us a part of His people. And so all my springs, all the springs of my joy, are in you, O Zion. Well, I told you we were going to jump to the New Testament, so let's do that. Galatians 4 allegorizes two mountains, Mount Zion and Mount Sinai. And Paul does this in order to rebuke those in the church who wanted to take the church back under the law. And part of this transition from old covenant to new is that the ceremonial law, the civil law, the Israel-specific law codes like circumcision, dietary laws, all the judicial laws, those have all been fulfilled by Christ in such a way that their nature has been transformed and we're no longer under them. So he says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise." There's this idea of being born. Born through the promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. So Mount Zion is not explicitly named here, but the idea is there clearly implied. You've got two women, you've got two mountains, you've got two covenants, you've got two ways of salvation. If you are trying to be saved because you keep the law, or if you are trying to be saved because you come from a Christian family and you want to claim your parents' pedigree as your salvation, that simply will not do. Taking an external mark of the covenant on yourself and trusting in a heritage from your parents or trusting in your own law keeping simply will not do. To be born according to the promise, to be born of Zion, to be born in Zion, is to be born through the gospel, is to be born through grace. That is our life. All right, one more. This is a little longer one, so I'm going to shrink it down into the corner. Hebrews 12. "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.'" All of that is Mount Sinai and is the law. Right? But we haven't come to God through the law. We haven't come to God through Moses. We haven't come to God through our obedience to God's commands. Right? That's not how we've come to God. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Notice the reference, both the same in Galatians 4 and Hebrews 12, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem above, who is free. And to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. It's a beautiful and powerful and compelling passage because it invites us to come to God through Jesus Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through this Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, by grace, through faith in Christ, and to worship with God's people. It's a call to gathered worship with God's people, all those who have been born in Zion. Let's gather together and worship God. And then he says, don't refuse. Don't refuse to come by faith. Don't refuse to worship together. And the warning is real. If those who came to Mount Sinai to receive the law didn't escape if they refused, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven? So Zion is beautiful. Zion is God's city. Zion is the true and living church, the Jerusalem above, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's not associated with any human institution. So I hope you don't hear me saying that this is talking about Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, where this is talking about the Presbyterian Church in America. It's bigger than that. It's better than that. It's more glorious than that. It's talking about God's kingdom, where Jesus reigns in power and glory. Through the gospel, he saves those who come to him by faith and fills us with joy so that we can sing and dance and say, all my springs are in you. And we can gather for worship, and there we do it as a local body of Christ. We gather for worship with God's people and we praise him for the goodness that he has given to us in the gospel. That's what Psalm 87 is really all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that you have established Zion, your holy city, as the dwelling place of your people, where we dwell by faith in Christ, before your presence, gathered together in assembly to worship, to glorify you, to enjoy you, to praise you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that faith in Christ brings us to you. Thank you for causing us to be born of Zion, born in her. Let us be a testimony to the nations. Let us be a testimony to our neighbors in the nations, that they may look at us and they may say, there is one who has been born from above. Father, glorify your name through the worship of your church and through the testimony of the lives of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Amen. What a wonderful psalm. And we will continue next week. We'll probably pick up with Psalm 89, I think, on Monday. Do 89, 90, and 91 next week. I think we'll still do Monday, even though it's Labor Day. So plan on that, unless you hear different. And looking forward to that. Hope you have a blessed day. And if you're looking for a place to worship and you don't have a place to worship, come on out to Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're meeting out at the 4-H camp near Rock State Park. Look it up on the website, foresthillpca.org, or on the Facebook page, and you'll find directions. If you have any questions, just email the church, and we'd be happy to help you out. Have a wonderfully blessed day.